Jessica.
What's up, Elsie?
What is going on, man? So,
how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Just catching up from a fantastic long weekend of driving.
Yes.
And excitement. Yes. But I'm good, and I'm getting ready to go because I'm not raring to go here because of some inspiration, of course, our She Podcasters always give us, and some really great topics. So I think this stemmed from, you know, you and I have been talking about how awesome our group is because there's so much incredible interaction with our ladies. There's so much support that you get. There's a lot of, you know, people who are coming in that are newbies that are like, how do I record? Hello, I'm so scared, you know?
Yeah,
and then there's
yeah.
people, and then it's so great that they're able to say that and not be like, hello, you're supposed to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
To have that. And then there's like really a little bit, I would say, advanced posts, like how to optimize our audio or how to, you know, in terms of webinar, you know, what kinds of things they should be using to really get the most from results from whatever tool they're trying to figure out. So we have a little bit more things like that as well. And Jessica Rhodes, one of our lovely members, she just wrote a post about how they really like the group and that she had left another podcaster group because she felt that it was, you know, it was just too many rules and just not growing, I guess,
foster
the community. And it just feels
yes.
like it's like the disciplinarian parent trying mm-hmm. to keep a toddler from being excited about the new toys that they have in front of them or something, you know, because that's
yeah.
like, I don't know. So
this is going to actually, I'm going to type while we're talking about this actually,
yeah.
because I'm going to go ahead and admit that I haven't put my slides together. For my
for your upcoming talk
for
at
my
the
upcoming
podcast
talk
movement.
About community, and I just want to make little notes about what comes up so that I can make sure to cover the things I think are important. For example, like the role of the admin.
Yes.
Is it babysitter, or you know, and if not, what is it? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because in that case, I think. You know, I think every admin feels differently about what their role is or should be. And I think in that case, it's pretty obvious she thinks she or he, because I see that in a couple, I've seen that in a couple different communities. They see themselves as babysitting. They're trying to avoid trouble. So you sit down in front of the kids when you first get to the parents' house and you say, look, we're not going to be jumping on the furniture. I don't go to the park. And by the way, you're going to eat, you know, peanut butter and jelly because I don't cook. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of like what, you know, how the attitude I see it. And so I in that case, I sort of feel like if you don't want to be a leader or be in the role of admin, don't start a group. Don't start a group for fame and glory and then get angry at everybody for being at part of your group, I think.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take it back a little bit and I am going to come from my yoga perspective.
Of course you will.
Of course I will. Because, you know, I think that there's something to be said. And if we kind of reverse engineer, I guess, if we kind of bring to light why something works, because I really like to work from that perspective as well.
Okay.
Why something is working, right? So it's to affirm the things that are working and to kind of and not really fuel the fire of the things that are not. So this is something that one of my teachers, I remember going into a workshop, right? So we pay, you know, not loads of money, but you do pay a pretty decent amount. It was in San Diego. And at that time I was living in Los Angeles. So I took I took public transportation, like I took a train over to San Diego and I stayed in a hotel. So I'm investing quite a bit of money to do this workshop, right? So
yeah.
Sounds somebody like else time. Generally, what happens whenever like a big guy or a big like, you know, yoga teacher comes into town, usually there's a host person that gets the space for them and then they come in, right? So he comes into the space and then we realize that the space is super not optimal for a yoga class. I mean, there's like beams in the middle of the room. There's like this really weird, like instead of being a rectangular shape, there's like two squares on either side. And then there's like a small, like sort of like aisle that connects both sides. And nobody could see each other. Like it was just super awkward, like not mm-hmm. optimal. And then if he went to one side of the room, the other side of the room couldn't hear him, even though he was wearing a mic. Mm-hmm. So it was like not good for like, mm-hmm. you know, 300 to 500. I don't know how many, but it was a lot, hundreds of yogis, right?
Right.
So, you know, when he went in, he could have gotten super pissed off, right? And been like, oh my God, this totally sucks. But what he did is, as soon as he got in there, he sat us down and he was like, listen, this is so not the best space. But he was making it super funny. Like, he was such a goofball. And he goes, you know what? We just have to make sure that our intention is to be able to communicate with each other. And we can change the energy of this room. We can make this the best place we can. And of course, yeah. all the yogis were like, yay, we love everybody. You know?
So, I love yogis.
But just him setting that intention, just to sit down and just, and he basically sent it off to us. And he said, you are responsible for the experience that you have here. And may we support each other when we do this. And you don't have to say it. You could just think it. And I think that that's part of it too. It's, you know, you and I came into this setting, the She Podcasts, from a really great perspective of just supporting women and helping everybody and helping us and doing this for fun. And it was very lighthearted, but very kind of love fueled to be all kumbaya. So, mm-hmm. It wasn't like, you know, let's see how many women we can get in our programs. Let's see how much money we can get. You know, it was like yeah. very, I don't know, just light
yeah.
and
yeah.
and supportive and in from a space of giving. So anyway. Your turn.
Well, I think that's really nice. I mean, and it's all about attitude. I mean, yeah. I'm always really flattered when people post things about how nice and how appreciative they are of a community that I'm running or that I built, because it you know, in some ways I feel like I'm really just trying to attract people that are like me and trying to keep out people that aren't like me, which is, of course, impossible because now my lady business group is almost, if not over 600 people. Some of those people have got to not be like me, right? It can't be 600 women exactly like me, because you are in that group and you and I aren't that much alike, let's be honest.
True that.
But you are, but you're not, right? So that we have fundamental similarities. And yes. I think if there's, this is a word, attitudinal. Attitude similarities,
yeah,
but not necessarily lifestyle, or you know, there's other things that we don't have in common. So I'm always kind of amazed that people are so appreciative of it. But at the same time, I will say that, you know, I also try to, I guess, highlight other people, and maybe that's why I think it's appreciated, because I just really do it because it's fun and not because I'm necessarily trying to get something out of it. I mean, even the She Podcasts group, there's been a couple people after it was started. It was at first called Women Who Podcast. And there are a couple people that came, you know, that approached me and was like, you know, I've been thinking about doing a group like this for so long, and I don't know why I didn't do it before, but I'm glad you did it. And I almost feel guilty. Like, I'm sorry that I'm the admin and you're not. I'm sorry. I really have no more like credentials to do it over you or instead of you, or, you know, really, I don't. It's just that for me, the reason I started Women Who Podcast is because I was doing podcasting school for women, and they started to have questions that, you know, that I thought would be better answered by somebody with different types of shows or different kinds of experience. Like, because, you know, I only have that show about business. So, like, Heather Rampola, who I love, she has a show about food and eating. And so, I, you know, and I know other women who have that. So, I wanted to put you and Maggie Patterson and Emily Chase Smith in a group so that I could bombard you with questions. Really, that's the truth, Elsie. I really just wanted to be like, who are the girls that know maybe slightly more than me about something? Let me just pick their brains instead, right? Because at first I thought, well, should I just add the women I know into the school? But then, you know, but they don't really need the school. And it's just going to be like, I don't want them to feel like the teacher that I'm taking advantage. So then as soon as I started the Facebook group Women Who Podcast, I mean, Elsie, you probably added like 40 women that day.
Yeah, I did.
Women. I didn't even know you knew that many women podcasters. I knew like five, right? I knew the women that I met at New Media Expo, and you, who I already knew, did it. And Anastasia Valentine, because she was the first she was my inspiration. So, and then same with Maggie, like she added another 20, and then, you know, Emily probably added a few. And then I started thinking like, oh yeah, Natalie Lussier. Oh yeah. Faraday Danger. Oh yeah. Yeah. People I knew who like through B school who had a podcast, Teresa Reed and Mignon, who I met in, at New Media Expo. So it was really just about collaborative. How do you deal with?
Exactly.
And I actually really thought like, unless I had a question being not necessarily a newbie, but you know, socially awkward as I am, I thought unless I had a question, really, it would be a quiet group, but it's not. It's a group of people. I think, you know, I'm happy to know that I'm not the only one who feels awkward in certain situations, like telling someone you're not going to interview them or, you know, asking for a donation.
Absolutely.
I'm glad. Sorry. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I agree with you. I think that, you know what, there's something that needs to be that brings out the fact that when you created this group, it came from a need that you felt was out there. It wasn't like capitalized. Like there's a different mindset here. I think when you started, it was exactly what to mine the hive mind, you know, to be able to get into all of these different experiences because you instinctively knew that podcasting just wasn't what you were aware of. You already knew that there was more, especially because you are dealing with a lot of ladies who have different lifestyles, who have different, you know, topics for the stuff that they want to get out there, and that perhaps you didn't have all the answers. Imagine that. And so why not put together some people who have been doing this for a while? And that, I think that's what really works for this group.
Yeah.
It's kind of, yeah. And, but at the same time, there's something incredibly lovely from the fact that we set a clear intention when this group started to kind of grow, that the group itself self-regulates very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we don't have to be like, hey, like slapping people in the hands
all
the time.
Yeah, this group does. My other group doesn't.
You know, so.
This group does, so.
Yeah. You mean that lady business, you have to self-regulate it? I mean, you need to regulate.
I have to regulate it, okay. Yes. Which actually, but yeah, the She Podcast group self-regulates, and you and I are part of other groups that self-regulate, because like we have a group, just for those of you who don't know, Elsie and I met like 4 years ago in Marie Forleo's B School. It was a very small group then, like 400 people. And when it started to grow, we created a subgroup of people who were just in it the years that we were in it, so we could keep in touch with our own things and watch ourselves grow without having to sift through 12,000 other members. So I don't even know who's an admin of that group. I seriously don't. I mean,
neither
we've
do
never.
I think
people in there, because we do not spam each other. We do not do the check out my article. We do not do the if anyone's interested. I mean, we are. It is considered, in my eyes, a group of colleagues, just like She Podcasts.
Yeah.
A group of colleagues who are really not there to spam each other. Like, I've never had to say to someone, stop posting your episodes. That does not happen in this group.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. I mean, maybe it's because you and I did Windbag Wednesday, where you just post your episode for the week. Because I want to give people an opportunity to show what they're doing that week. But even in the other group, like the B-Schoolers group that you and I are in, like, I would never post. I mean, I do post. If I have a webinar and people are interested, you know, I do post it. You know, and I do see Natalie, you know, Natalie Lussier, she had a new software she posted in there. It's something that, like, we really feel like it would benefit everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, then it's something.
Do it.
Yeah.
Certainly not every article, certainly not every course, every promote, not even close.
But you know what's really interesting about that group, too, is the fact that when somebody does promote something like that, it comes with a very specific post.
This is why I think this would be good for
you. And it's not like, and it's not totally, how would I say it? It's not something like that's been crafted. It's something that is super, it's like you're writing an email to your friend. And you're like, oh my God, I totally just got this program going and I'm so scared. But I, you know, it's like, very like the email to your friend and here's the link. Oh my God, I'm so excited. But it's not about marketing, you know?
And it's funny because when it is about marketing, no one comments on it. Because there is one or two, there are one or two people who only post in there when they have something to sell. And it is met with silence.
Yeah.
Complete silence. So it makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. So It's ahead. I think that you have to kind of, as an admin, it is your job though to sort of cultivate it. And I think that there's also, there is something that comes from being an admin. It's instigating conversation. It's facilitating conversation. It's allowing people to buy the posts that you put up there to make sure that they get to know each other. And so you actually do a fantastic job of this, Jessica. I've learned so much from the way that you run Facebook groups because of the fact that you do it from who you are, and it really resonates with people. It really does. Whenever you post something up there and you make it, like, it seems like you're so curious about stuff that it's just this random thought. That's what I love about it. It's so focused and so like planned out. But when you put it out, it sounds like you just came up with it like 2 seconds ago, and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to go put this on the She Podcast group or your lady.
How do you know it's focused and planned out? How do you know?
Because you have a scheduling system.
Oh,
that's how come I know. So you've got it scheduled.
Like today, I see what you're saying. So like today, when you guys listen, it will be another day. But in the Bomb Squad, every morning I do Mondays, I do Procrastination Station. Mm-hmm. And I always ask personal questions. And the reason I do that actually is because I find myself getting a very slow start on Mondays. I don't want to start the week diving, you know, like I want to poke on Facebook, reluctantly check my email. And so to me, it's a nice way of like, I don't know, like sweeping into the week is just by like being on Facebook, but answering a personal question, even if it is a business group. So like this morning's is, what's your life motto? And a couple people have said like, that's a great question. Cause I mean, it's really, it can just be, you know, smoke if you got them. I don't care what it is.
Right.
But it just helps you learn about the people who are in your group, you know? But some of the most interesting ones have been like, what jobs have you hated?
That was was a good one. And it's great because that makes people who usually don't have it or feel that they don't have anything to offer, something to offer.
Exactly.
Because everybody's had a job that they can, you know, or everybody's got a favorite song, or everybody has, you know, like that thing you don't want anybody to know about or something like that, where you've never felt like you could put it down. So that's really great. Right, yeah. And
yes. If that's what you're talking about, yes, that is pre-calculated.
Yes.
But I am also curious about the answers, or I wouldn't ask the question.
Exactly. No. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you're not going to be asking things you're not interested to know about the question. That's the whole point.
Right.
But I've just seen some of these kind of tactics in other groups that are just not working. It's like they feel like they're really heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Like, I've seen people who want to inspire. Mm-hmm. And they'll put up a quote of some kind. And you're like, oh, yeah, but that's just so cheesy. Like, it just doesn't make me inspired. It makes me go like, eh.
So there's two different groups I can think of that, and one does that really well, and the other doesn't do it so well. So like my friend who doesn't do it so well has a group where she does, it's sort of a money coaching thing, but she does also try to personally engage the members of the group. But I don't think the questions are quite right, and the reason why is because she posts things like on Friday, like, "What are you guys doing this weekend?" Uh-huh. Or "What are you guys struggling with today?" Those are, to me, that's too generic. Like, no one is going to tell you what they're doing, that because it takes longer to tell you than it does to just go do it.
Yeah.
So like, and plus, I don't really care. Let's be honest, listeners. I don't care what you're doing this weekend. I really don't. Unless I'm seeing you in Dallas, I don't care. You can, because our weekends are not interesting. This past weekend, I found a paint chip for my hallway, registered for a stroller. Like, that shit's not interesting. You know, like, I'm telling you on Facebook is like, why don't I bore you silly some more? Like, the stuff that's interesting is what's going on in your brain. I'd rather answer, how do you feel about what you're doing this weekend? That is an interesting question.
You know what? You're totally right, because I honestly had an exciting weekend this weekend, but most weekends,
you did.
Whenever, you know, when somebody asks me, I have this lovely coffee shop that I go to here that's Pittsburgh, like local, and it's the coolest place. It's like, seriously, the second time I went in there, the guy's like, hey, and he gave me a high five. I was like, in love. Cool. So anyway, when I went in there, he was like, so how was your weekend? And I was like, it was great. I could not even remember what I did. Not this past weekend, but I'm saying, you know.
The weekend before.
Yeah, because I'm like, it's always the same.
Mm-hmm.
I like my weekend, but it's nothing definitely to write about. I'm going to be like, I don't know. I worked and I took care of my girls and we went over to Nanny's house.
Yeah. Exactly.
So.
Exactly. It's not interesting. So that's the person who doesn't do it well. And then the person who does do it well, she posts a lot of thought-provoking articles with her opinion about what the author is trying to do or say.
Uh-huh.
And then asks, you know, usually, like, what do you think? But the article, and then once in a while, she, first of all, it's always about her thoughts and her feelings about what's going on. It's very rarely small talk. And so that's why I think she does it really well, because it's not about money, but it's about, you know, I guess, I don't know, being your best self or feeling good about yourself or fulfilling your dreams, some kind of, you know, nonsense like, no, I'm just kidding. Some kind of stuff like that. But I think she does a good job of it, because she doesn't always, it's not always supposed to be inspirational. Sometimes it's meant to tell you, you know, to say, obviously this person doesn't feel good about themselves, or, you know, and sometimes it's just like the most ridiculous stuff. Like, and I'm always the one in that group to disagree with whatever it is that she thinks is inspirational.
That's hilarious. No, but that's, you know what, that's really good, because you need to have that kind of, I really love to hear other people's point of views, especially when people know, because this is one of my favorite things to see in groups, is when people disagree, but they disagree not because of a gut reaction or something that they have somehow, how would I say it? Like a point of view that they have just kind of come up with, as opposed to something that they've tested and checked out. I love that, because if somebody says, you know what, I don't really use this because of X, Y, and Z, that just hasn't worked for me because of these reasons. And I love to see that, because I'm much more intrigued by that other than, oh, I don't do that because I've never done that.
So, yeah.
You know, that to me, I'm like, okay, well then, well, good for you. I just like to hear other points of view, but I absolutely agree. And the other thing too, is that you have to know your audience. Like, because I run, well, not really run, pages are slightly different, because I do work with the Libsyn page, you know, so I deal with doing the same thing, trying to kind of get community engagement and all that kind of stuff for our community. And those guys over there are really interested, and they really love stuff that has to do with tech. Like, if I ask a question that has to do with a microphone, or that has to do with an audio, like some sort of pop filter, or like a mixer, or what's your best tool, whatever. Oh my God, there is like an insane amount of people writing stuff in and talking about tech. It's like their favorite thing ever. So I put a lot of tutorials over there that people really love. Whereas it seems like for our She Podcasters girls, at least from before, like there's no uptake on that crap.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're like, exactly. Yeah, tech, we don't want to talk about tech. I think tech comes in because there's a lot more creativity and in artistic expression within the She Podcasters plays. Mm-hmm. And it's like the tech is like in the back end. It's like, oh, my microphone's not working. What do I do? Like, that's when somebody's going to come up there. But nobody's like looking at their tech going, oh, my God, this is like the best thing ever. I want to talk about my microphone.
So, yeah, it's definitely an afterthought for sure.
Yeah, so you have to think about that, the conversation that comes in from that. And it, you know, I posted a question on the Libsyn page, and this was really intriguing, because I said, which one would you pick? A Heil PR40, which is one of the like upper level sort of like, I think it's around $400 microphone, or B, an all paid trip to the podcast movement. What do you think won out?
The trip.
Actually, no? It wasn't. It was like 50-50. I have to say that it was 50-50 on the page.
Dudes, man.
But it was, there were so many people. But on Google Plus, it was 100% the Heil PR40.
What?
Yes.
Interesting.
Hands down. And and everybody was like, yeah.
Why?
Heil PR40. I don't know. Because I think there's a disconnect.
Why?
That you don't understand how much we've been posting about the conference. You know, it's really intriguing, because I think that this is a great segue. I think there's a great disconnect between when you, like, oh gosh, the culture of podcasting comes from, I don't want to put my foot in it, in any way, but sort of like maybe coloring it in some way from like the working class, if you will, kind of like blue collar workers, is kind of like you would think like, oh, that maybe went into podcasting as a way to create creativity. Mm-hmm. And then like going to a conference, that's like, you know, white collar stuff. That's like a little bit in a different kind of income level. That's like breaking out of the mold, starting to break out of the mold. And I'm just putting these parameters around it, even though that's obviously not the case. But there is a little bit more of a pull down where, you know, the beginning podcasters were all doing it after their 9 to 5 on the weekend in their garage. And they were slowly but surely building bits and pieces, you know, getting a mic, getting a audio, you know, software program to up level, that kind of stuff, as opposed to going into it with the thought process of this could be a viable opportunity for a business, with a business mindset, as opposed to, hey, how cool would it be if we could just get enough donations while we're in our basement and just make money off of this? Wouldn't that be cool? So. Yeah. Anyway, so that brings us kind of to our second topic that we were going to be talking about, which is the difference between hobby podcasters and entrepreneur podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
What do you feel about that process? Like, do you feel that there's a difference between people who started podcasting as a hobby and people who started podcasting in a deliberate fashion to perhaps up the bottom line somewhere, even if it doesn't have to do with the podcast itself?
Do I feel like there's a difference as far as between the people or between the results? I don't know.
Well, between the interactions, because this comes around from this perspective too, because it was coming from Jessica Rhodes's post where she talked about, people are commenting on, she put the post up where it says, just want to say Jessica and Elsie are awesome group owners. She said, you know, this is what we talked about before. I'm in another FB group for podcasters, and I feel that every day the owner posts about new rules and I can't remember them all, so I just unfollow the group. But one of the comments that she put, like towards the end, she said, this group I referred to, I think, is a mix of hobby podcasters and entrepreneur podcasters. Anyone else notice how hobby podcasters really dislike entrepreneur podcasters?
I don't agree with that in our group.
Not in our group. No, no, no. I don't think so. But I
don't know that I agree with that in every group. I mean, like, well, Podcasters Paradise is another group that I'm in that's a paid group. But maybe they're mostly entrepreneurs because he has Entrepreneur on Fire. So maybe I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, until she said that, I never really noticed a difference. And I think it's because in my head, I have ideas for hobby podcasts.
I see.
What I mean? So like, it didn't occur to me that one, you know, half of me would dislike the other half. Like, to me, it's all the same. Like, and Kathleen Kelly, who's in our group, it's not a hobby podcast, but she's a registered nurse, so it's certainly not for her business either. But she has also mentioned a couple times that it never occurred to her that her podcast could be a business until she started hanging out in that group, because then she met all the other entrepreneur people, and then she was like, oh, a product? What? Sell an ebook? Hello? Like, didn't even register before that.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Well, see, I think that in that respect, I love to see that. I have felt that, Jess. I have felt that. I have felt it that hobby podcasters have a bit of, and I'm one of those, a bit of a chip on the shoulders, of my shoulders, if you will, for the entrepreneur podcasters. Because, tell you about like the resentment.
Yes, I would like to hear about it.
Yes, I know, right? Because it's like, I have a feeling, or I had a feeling, because I know a lot more now, but this is coming from like the old school Elsie, like, you know, the one that just started podcasting. Something like, there's stuff that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That there's, you know, this marketing stuff. What is that? That's like, mm-hmm. What is marketing, and why are you putting that all the time? And why are you putting work into something that I love? And I felt less than. It's like, mm-hmm. those entrepreneur people feel like they're all that, and I'm just as good as them. So it's like, it's sort of like the old, you know, like the poor kid on the wrong side of the tracks is trying to come up. And then you get all of, like, you know, the fraternity guys hanging out and you feel totally awkward. That's how I feel.
Interesting.
So, and so I think that there's kind of like that where you get a lot of these people, and I'm saying guys, even though it's guys and girls. So when I say guys, I'm just not talking about men, where there is a disconnect between that because it's kind of like some of the entrepreneur people are doing this for a living. It's like their job. And I feel that there might be a little bit of jealousy there. But there's also a little bit of dissonance because there's so much of the perception of cheesy advertising and cheesy marketing tactics that takes away from the essence of the art of podcasting. So I think that might be some of that. And that's where I believe it starts to come out from. Mind you, this is another thing too, that a lot of podcasters start to podcast in their garage by themselves because they're not necessarily the most skilled in communication skills with other human beings. So there is,
hello, Mark Maron.
Hello. Yeah. So there's something that happens in that respect. It's kind of like it's the perfect medium for introverts because we don't have to see other people. We don't have to respond to anybody in front of us. We just go off of the things that are inside. And the minute that it takes us out of our comfort zone, it's sort of like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. That's evil. That's bad. And so we stop it. I don't feel that that's the case in She Podcasts because there is a genuine desire from everybody to support each other. And I think that, especially for women, there isn't an affinity, like we talked about before, to go fully, fully into the tech stuff. So whenever we have people like, you know, Mayanna, the WordPress guru expert person who comes in like all the time, she's so amazing when she starts to break stuff down where you're like, oh my God. That's brilliant. I'm so happy you're in this group and you can talk and you can share these incredible things. And all of the rest of the ladies that are really in tune with the like audio work and how to like the audio engineering and all that stuff, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? So for me, like, that's great to have that. So I don't feel that dissonance so much from She Podcast, but I definitely see it even in the Libsyn page. As a whole.
I may just be too oblivious to notice. Which Libsyn, I mean, your Libsyn listeners are, I mean, not in a bad way, but they are extremely hardcore.
They are very hardcore.
They're extremely hardcore. You know, I just pulled up iTunes just to look at the difference between just some of the shows so I could look at like podcasts in business versus podcasts in something else, like games and hobbies. And I wanted to bring up the category of comedy.
Okay.
The reason why is because I don't think that's one or the other. I think people who do comedy podcasts, they are business podcasts, and they are hobby podcasts because they're it's entertainment. But that's their job. Mark Maron is a comedian. Bill Burr is a comedian. Adam Carolla is a comedian. Comedy Bang Bang. Like, I'm just looking at the ones that are new and noteworthy. Why would WTF be new and noteworthy? I don't know. Maybe he re...
See that? And then we get back to the last conversation we have. Hold on. Obviously not new.
He's not even close. He's not noteworthy. Or noteworthy.
Yeah.
And Bill Burr, too, has been on there forever. They should not be in new and noteworthy. Yeah. That's ridiculous. But anyway, so what do you call those podcasts where it is your business to do something entertaining?
I agree with you too, because your business is, that's what I think the aspiration for most hobby podcasters is, to be like Mark Maron, to be like the Comedy Bang Bang folk, you know, to be like Joe Rogan. Like, those are the people that they look up to.
But they get paid to do that whether they have a podcast or not, just like I get paid by my clients whether I have a podcast or not.
True.
So it's not really a hobby.
So it's not really a hobby.
It's another way for their clients to get to know them, just like a business podcast.
Exactly. But the thing is that they aspire to that as opposed to, I think what happens is just the category of what it is. It's like people who are podcasting for business stuff. It just, that's so dissonant for the guys that are trying to do just the comedy stuff. And they want to. You know what I'm really intrigued by, though, is the ones that do a lot of the entertainment podcasts. The ones that are.
So let me look at those.
Like the ones that are doing, like, I'm saying Lost TV right and now. Film. Like TV the TV film. Show.
That's the category. It's called TV and film. Yeah.
TV and film. Like, you know, that kind of stuff. I got to tell you that one of my first kind of obsessions in the podcasting world when I started was. Father Roderick. I don't know if I've talked about him in the past before. He's a priest from the Netherlands, and he's been podcasting, gosh, since 2004. Like, it's crazy how far back he's been podcasting. And he just really loved the medium. And he, by himself, basically, which grew into something huge, started the StarQuest Production Network, which is now like a slew of Catholic podcasters that are putting stuff out there. But the reason that Father Roderick was so incredible to me is because he's so into pop culture. So the guy would get behind the mic and talk about Star Wars and geek movies and, like, you know, game shows and game and, like, just like video games and go deep into it. So what he started to do is he started to get to create podcast after podcast about, like, Lord of the Rings and the new movie, whatever new, the Star Wars movies that are coming out. Like, he's had a podcast on Star Wars for so long, and that's all he talks about, Star Wars. And
how could you even find that much to talk about Star Wars?
Because you don't even understand the depth, dude. It's crazy how deep.
It's only, now it's like six movies, so I guess there is a lot to
talk there's
about,
like all but. Of the, it's all of the philosophy. Oh, we're going to have like all the Anomaly Girls come on over here to talk about how deep you can get into the Star Wars stuff.
I mean, I have an idea, but. Just because my husband's into Star, you know, I have married a geek or two in my time, so. I get the concept certainly of Star Trek. Star Trek is something you could talk about.
Yeah, and there's.
I see the philosophy there more than I do Star Wars. But.
Well, you should have seen, like, even with the. You know how my brother's creating that, like, little Jedi for me? And then all of a sudden he goes, you know what? I can't make you holding a lightsaber because the lightsaber is part of the Jedi. Look, and they are owned by Disney now, and so that would be copyright infringement. So he goes, I can give you and he told me the name of the sword, and then I'm like, and he goes, oh, and you can see it. He goes, and you can see it on episode number 13.
Oh, I can't with those people.
Season 2 of the Clone Wars.
That's so that you can frightening. That frightens me.
This is what he said to me. So I'm like, cool beans, man. Whatever. So it's it's legit.
That actually frightens me when people can do that. When people can name what episode things were in, that really scares me. Because I've seen every episode of Seinfeld. And I mean, many, 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 many times. No matter when it's on, I'll turn it on. I still can't tell you what episode, the name of it. I can describe it to you, but I can't do episode 3, season 6 the way Trekkies can. It's crazy.
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's like passion, though. And so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think that part of it, whenever you start to. And then that's why people engage with shows like that so much, because you're so into it and it's so outside of the realm of business as we view it. It's so.
You're making me. Really want to do this hobby podcast just to see the different sides of it.
I think it would be awesome. I think once you have your baby, you can start, you can do your thing. I think you could totally, it would be the funnest thing to hear you go off about all the stuff, like the pop culture stuff that you go off on.
I don't know if I would need another web. I guess I'd need another website and like the whole thing.
Well, You could. Yeah, you definitely need a landing, somewhere to land, for people to land. But
she podcast didn't take me that long to design. I could do. Anyway, but it's just, honestly, I kind of want to do it just to get this, just so I can intelligently speak to both sides of the coin. Like, you have, yours is sort of a hobby / business because you were paid to do yoga classes.
I was getting paid to be yoga. Yeah, yeah. But it was a hobby because I started it with no business plan. But I've also been a podcast fiend for so many years that I've seen, you know, I know the gamut of what podcasting is. So I have like a whole slew of, I've listened to so much, and like I have so much experience as a listener that I think that that's what a lot of our, of the new community people coming in are lacking, that they don't understand the scope of what's going on. It's kind of like going into like a library and then going to the business section and not knowing that there's like all of these other sections that you can go in the library, like the kids section and like, you know, all the reference material that's in there. It's so rich, you know, like there's just so many different levels and different places that you can go inside of a library to find different kinds of books that are amazing. But, you know, sometimes maybe you just want to hang out in the business part, and that's fine. It's just that there is a lot. There's a lot more out there than you know that it's possible. And that's the only thing that I feel that both sides of the equation are lacking. The hobby podcasters kind of don't want to give, they don't want to step into the business because they don't want to, just because it's sort of like against their against their religious beliefs, I guess. And like the business people don't have time, to be honest, I think, to consume all the content that they would have to kind of dive into different kinds of material out there. That's what I would think. So I don't know. I feel that there is a dissonance, although for she podcasters, not so much. I don't know if that's, maybe that's a problem to be solved, maybe, or just to be softened a little bit.
I think if I started my podcast just as a hobbyist and I was trying to do something just to gain an audience based on my passion for a specific topic, and I saw tons of business people sort of raid the space in an effort to make money, it would irk me.
Yeah. I think that that's, I have to admit, that's what that you just hit the nail on the head. It's sort of what I felt, not just in podcasting, but in yoga. I had that same feeling in yoga. It's like when I started, it wasn't quite as cool as it is now. And I can't even tell you, one of the reasons I haven't wanted to be teaching so much is because I've seen this huge, huge change of, you know, doing teacher trainings. Everybody's doing teacher trainings to get money. So everybody wants to be a yoga teacher, for God's sake. Everybody wants to be, because everybody goes to yoga and goes, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I want to do this for a living. Where's the new teacher training? And then so people are just doing like, you know, teacher trainings up the wazoo. It's kind of like the McDonald's. It's like every place has a teacher training thing going on. And it makes me crazy to see that, because I feel the qualities, I mean, for a lot of different reasons. And so I try to dissuade when people come to me saying, I want to be a new yoga teacher. I always try to dissuade them, because there's a difference between teaching yoga and practicing yoga and getting that high that you get when you're practicing and you really love it. When you start to teach, all that fun is all gone. You are now a teacher.
Right.
You are no longer a student. I mean, in the room.
It's responsibility.
Yeah. It's a completely different part. And it takes a lot, like the business aspect of it. You have to know how to make money. And yoga teachers, unless you really leverage things right. As you know, one of our friends, the yogipreneur, she's kind of like really focused on that because she saw the inanity.
Yeah, they were a mess.
They were a mess, exactly.
Yeah, they're a mess. Yes.
So it's like crazy. It's the same thing. And so I think every industry goes through that when you do something and then everybody else comes in and tries to make money off of it.
Yeah. So. I mean, it kind of even irks me even as a business podcaster, only because, you know, it takes a lot to earn money from a podcast, and it takes kind of a long time. If you're just doing it to have another stream of income, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Like there isn't anybody I know who just makes money from their show. Everything is surrounding the show. A business offering you can offer on the show, advertising on the show, advertising on the website of the show. But the show itself does not and never will make you money unless you are part of a multi-channel network where someone's paying you to actually do the show, like, oh, I don't know, NBC, CBS, Daily, my damn channel for YouTube. Like, those are people who are getting paid to do their show. Adam Carolla probably gets, I don't think it's just sponsors. I feel like he gets paid to do his show, but I need to check that. Maybe it is just sponsors, but he can get big sponsors because he's Adam Carolla. He has commercials like for Ford. That's, you know, like that's different. That's a little different. So, even now, you know, it's the first question people ask me is how long does it take to make money when you have a podcast? And I always answer like, well, I mean, you're starting a new business. How long will it take you to start? You know, if you're trying to be a nail technician, you know, how is that usually your first question? I like nails. How much will I get?
Yeah.
No, you have to think about like all the supplies you need and how much demand there is and where your location's going to be. Like, all that stuff has to come first. This is the same thing.
Absolutely.
And so whether you have a hobby or a business podcast, that answer is the same. You're going to make money later when you have a good show that people like, just like you're going to make money later when you have a business or a product somebody wants later. Not now, later.
And I know it. Not now. It is absolutely true. And you can't, like, there's no turnkey solution for this. You know, we were going to discuss one of the articles that were out there in terms of getting a lot of listeners that I posted in the group. And we sort of decided against it to do, although we did record it and then it went away. That recording disappeared for some reason. But
or maybe never happened.
It never really happened. Maybe it wasn't. But that you're right. I think that there is, it's different in terms of just tactics to raise the amount of people. It's kind of like if you have a grant, like let's look into the grand opening kind of scenarios as well. It's different if you have a grand opening of your store, right? And you get like, I don't know, so much foot traffic. People are coming in. The weather's perfect. Everything's awesome. And people are shopping up the wazoo and it was great. And then they don't come in the next week.
Yeah.
Or maybe you get like two or three people coming in and then you're like going, well, how come people are not coming in? Well, you had a grand opening. This is where the work starts. This is where you start to figure out how to bring those people back. This is like when you have to figure out, is your, you know, are you in the right location? Are you getting the foot traffic? Where do you need to advertise? Are you getting the right people to come through? Are people seeing you? How can they find you? I mean, there's so much that goes into it and it doesn't necessarily have to be always the same. Mm-hmm. So, and there's new places to advertise. Like, again, I'm going back to Mommy's Cocktail Hour. We talked about them a few episodes back because they've really done a really great job or have been doing a great job of posting things on Instagram for their podcast. And they're doing it in a really unique way. Like, they're not doing the kind of stuff that, like, getting a, you know, their show artwork and putting it up there on Instagram and just letting it go. It's like they've got like really fun posts up there.
Yeah.
They're very cute. They just had their 100th episode and they did a really great little promotion for their live episode with the ladies. Like, it was just super cute, the stuff that they're doing on Instagram. I'm going to put a link to in the show notes again so you guys can go check it out so that you can see that you can start to leverage things out of the box. You don't have to think about the same stuff. So I don't even know how I got into this because what the hell were we talking about before?
We were talking about going into something with a sole purpose of making money
and how irritating
it would be for people who are doing it because they just have a passion to do it.
Right. So experimentation, bottom line, experimentation. I think everybody experiments differently. And everybody just, I feel the difference between our show and other, I mean our show, our group perhaps for the podcasters is that the whole sole purpose is really about supporting each other and helping each other kind of find the best way that works for them as opposed to saying this is the way you're supposed to do it. Because also the array of experience in that group is also really huge. I mean, there's people who haven't even started a podcast who might even possibly have a concept to people who have been podcasting for like 7 or 8 years. So, which is great.
I mean, I also think just because it's changing a little bit doesn't mean that the people who've been podcasting a long time can't benefit from it.
I think so. I think, I mean, there's times when I look back and I look at people who have been podcasting a long time and I go to their websites and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I mean, like Podcast Answer Man, I don't know. I'm just looking at his I could be wrong, but I believe he has like a bunch of podcasts, not just the one. He has like a whole network of his own shows.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. He's got an entire network, and he started and put to rest a lot of different podcasts for many, you know, he's produced, I think, over 5,000 episodes. I mean, not obviously as a whole.
Yeah. Right.
Not as, you know, not just of one, but he's done so much stuff. So he has a really, and then he has a huge array of understanding. Podcast Answer Man is a lot more about business. Mm-hmm. And then he's got, you know, the one that started him, which was like the Lost podcast, which was all about Lost. And he's got Family from the Heart, which is like just him and his wife talking about,
yeah,
you know, their personal, basically personal stuff on Lost, like total transparent conversations between husband and wife.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different kind of mindset that he's had. The way that he started in terms of the podcasting stuff. So,
yeah, it's pretty cool. That's the kind of thing I could see myself doing, is like a network of all me.
Yeah. And it becomes easy because you can call the shots. Like, you know what you have to do. It is just that, you know, what Cliff figured out is that if you want to do something well, that's a whole other thing. It's like you have to really focus on one or two shows that you really want to rise up and build up and do all that kind of stuff. And he's also started shows that he was really passionate about. And then all of a sudden he was like, okay, that's it. I don't have anything else to say about this.
You know, though, I will say this, though, about Cliff. Like, I do find that his podcast, one of the reasons I started my own school is because I thought his stuff was, like, so techy and expensive.
Ah.
I don't know. I would watch his tutorials, like the free things that he had, and I just sort of felt like, oh, this looks hard, I don't want to, you know. Mm-hmm. But I thought, that can't be right, I don't need a mixer, that's just ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so that's why I wanted to create something different, because I felt like his stuff was so hard, which, I mean, makes sense, because he, like you said, he wants to focus and do it really well, and I don't think I do it badly.
No.
But I certainly don't have like a whole thing set up.
Well, you also have to think about, you know, when he started doing this as full time, he was doing it full time. He was seated in front of his computer for like, on Thursdays, I think he did all the record, like the majority of his recordings for like 8 hours.
Yeah.
One show after the next show or something like that. I'm not sure. But he had a schedule of when everything was recorded and all that kind of stuff. And he has a system that works for him, and it puts out the best kind of quality. Something that I've noticed, though, Jess, and I think this really plays into this whole field for everybody, is that now, you know, working with clients for myself, I find that even though there are better solutions for them, you know, mm-hmm, even mm-hmm. if I know this microphone would serve them better, mm-hmm. I still have to deal with the tech, meaning here, you get this microphone that is better than my microphone so that it makes you sound better. But then there's a tech support, because this person's getting this microphone and they're going like, okay, now what? What's this knob? What's this? And I don't have it in front of me, so I can't help. So right. I have found that even though there are better solutions, it's so much easier for me to just say like, okay, get this microphone because that's the one I have. Mm-hmm. Get this digital recorder because that's the one I have. Not because it's the best, but it's because I can troubleshoot for you. Mm-hmm. And I can optimize it for you. And therefore, and that's, I think, exactly what you're doing. You are teaching the workflow that works for you. And
well,
that is easier.
Well, and the one that
you.
Most people can afford. Like, I look at like the piece that he recommends for $650. And of course, I would love that. But that would also require me to sit in the same place every time I do a show, which I feel scared about. Whereas right now I can just plug in headphones with a mic or carry my little snowball wherever I need to go, and I'm all set.
Exactly. I think that that is incredibly important.
Yeah.
I don't,
for me it is.
For me it is as well. Like that's why I mean, I have a mixer. I bought my mixer. It's super cute and it's super portable and it's still in the box. Because I don't have a place to sit down and record. I go wherever I can.
I think we sound good, though.
Yes, absolutely. And you can definitely do it. And maybe at some point there will be a time and a place for making this maybe sound even better. But you know what? It's not that kind of a show.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if you feel, it makes you feel, probably does make you feel more professional, but I feel pretty professional. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, I pretty much like my setup. I like the fact that I get away from having to have too many, even more points of failure, which is what I feel happens with when you start to add a lot more technical stuff to it. It's like, okay, your microphone's not working. Okay, have you checked the levels of your is your thing plugged in? Okay, is the mixer plugged in? What about the cords that are going from this to that? Then it becomes so much more complicated where the problem is. Mm-hmm. I just know that, you know, is the mic muted? Okay, press the little red button. Okay, good. You're fine now. It just becomes that. So ladies, what have you guys thought? Have you felt as a new podcaster, as a she podcaster, old school podcaster, new podcaster, possible podcaster, have you sensed maybe some sort of dissonance between hobby podcasters and new podcasters? I mean, I'm sorry, and business podcasters? Have you seen that in like groups around town, on Facebook or Google Plus or whatever, or, you know,
around town, they each wear bandanas with different colors.
With like different colors, right. I am a hobby podcaster. Oh my God, that would be so cool to get somebody to do a cartoon of that. Like the hobby podcaster versus the business podcaster, sort of like Mac and PC.
It's hilarious.
That would be funny.
I didn't even know it existed. Excuse me.
What existed? Sorry.
The dissonance between the two groups.
I really think it does, and I'm glad that you haven't.
I see now that I do why it would, but
yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you haven't, but there's a little bit of that in there. But also, and if ladies, if you guys have a community that you either belong to or that you are starting or that you run, what has worked for you or what hasn't that you've seen? Because we shared some of our thoughts, but we would love to hear yours.
Please comment either on the blog or in the Facebook group, shepodcast.com/group.
Yes.
Bye. Love to hear your feedback. Yes. And thank you so much. And thank you, Elsie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, good timing.
I know, right? She's like, she's attached. Like, she just came in. I'm trying to be quiet. Never be quiet.
That was such good timing.
What you talking? The rest.